So I am here to talk about our theme for today, which is final questions, final words. Now, I don't know what springs to mind when you think about those four words, final questions, final words. Maybe your mind goes to watching a film on television, perhaps a film like P.S. I Love You, the film where the young widow discovers that her husband has left 10 messages to be opened a month by month in order to help her begin to find a way forward after losing her husband. Or maybe final words, final questions takes you to maybe a school leaving or a graduation ceremony or a retirement do, or you're leaving a job to start somewhere else. And maybe on one of those big events, you are one of many who are maybe listening to an inspirational speaker who's been brought in to challenge you and motivate you and inspire you and encourage you to kind of make you feel that this big change event that you're about to have isn't going to be as bad as you think. It's going to be something to look forward to. Or maybe final questions, final words, takes you to a sadder place. A place perhaps where you're reminded of the final words from someone that we've loved. Maybe it's those final questions that they may have uttered, and we simply have no answer to them. All we can do is reassure them that we're there and that we and God loves them. Or, as we've seen this week and we regularly see on the television, final questions, final words takes you instead to the place where we see on our televisions or we hear on our radios or on what other means it is, where maybe a prime minister or a cabinet minister or the leader of a particular organisation has had to stand down either because of a loss of confidence, as we've seen this week, or because they've made a really bad decision, or because of a scandal, or they've led a revolt against the government, and they have the opportunity in the House to give their final comments, and often they are used to highlight their cause, to defend their position, to hit out at whoever it is that may have hurt them. Final questions, final words, it can bring different things to our minds. They can be a source of comfort, a source of inspiration, a source of hurt, or even, depending on the circumstances in which those final words were uttered, to a place of constraint, to a place of emotion where actually it becomes impossible to carry out those promises that may have been made. Final words, final questions. What does it mean to you? Well, our last song this morning that we'll be singing in a short while is a song or a hymn that was written by someone called James Seddon. Seddon was a clergyman who went to share the good news of God to people in North Africa, wanting to share the gospel of God so that local Christians could share that love with those around them. And they became leaders of small and sadly often persecuted churches. They too would have had some final words to say. But the hymn that he wrote kind of captured what we find in the passage that we've just heard this morning. Perhaps answers some of those final questions that were spoken by the disciples. And it's the hymn that's going to firstly appear on the first verse on our screens in just a moment. Go forth and tell, O Church of God awake, God's saving news to all the nations take. Proclaim Christ Jesus, Saviour, Lord and King, that all the world his worthy praise may sing. There you go, that's the first verse, that's coming up, I will talk about that and we're going to see the rest of the verses as we go through, thank you. In verse 48 of the passage that we've got, that we've heard this morning, in Matthew's Gospel, the very last part of it, we are seeing those words from Jesus reminding us that we and the disciples need to go forth. The good news of Jesus needs to be shared. Go forth and tell. O Church of God, awake, was the words of the hymn that we'll be singing in a short while. We're supposed to be going to talk about Jesus' transforming power on their lives, of the hope that there is because of what Jesus did on that cross. We've been recognizing that this morning as we've taken up communion. His death on the cross, but the resurrection that came as his victory over death that gives us the hope of eternal life. But I rather feel that sadly, many of us have become apathetic. Many of us have allowed that to affect us. But we've lost that passion for sharing the good news with others. On Palm Sunday, you may remember Ian was preaching and telling us to stop being dull in our faith. We need to be radical, he was saying, and I'm saying that to us again today. We need to be radical because what happened at that cross that we celebrated this morning needs to not only impact on our lives, but on the lives of everybody. That's why we need to go tell and share the good news of the gospel. That is what Jesus is saying in these verses. And verse 2 of the hymn reinforces why we need to go. Because if we don't go, how will people know about God's love that embraces all? How God in his grace will respond to all who call? How shall people hear if they've never heard the gracious invitation of his word? Are we apathetic? Are we only thinking about ourselves? In verse 44 of the passage, Jesus said to them, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." In just that one verse, Jesus kind of summarizes the entirety of our Bibles, in the entirety of God's mission and God's love for everyone. I think sometimes we look at our Bibles in sections and we forget how God is the God of the New Testament as well as the God of the Old Testament. We forget to recognize from reading cover to cover how the whole of God's care and love for his world is seen within these pages. God is a God of judgment and a God of compassion. God is slow to anger, the word tells us, but he is also quick to forgive. One of the things we're hoping to do this year as our 90th anniversary celebration is to read the Bible from cover to cover in this place. And we're looking for people to get on board with that when we release the details in a little while about how over a period of several days we will see God's word being proclaimed here from the beginning to the end as we mark 90 years of this place being a place where God's love is shared and God's message of hope is preached. We see in our Bible how God has a love for all. That's why he sent his son to die in such a terrible way on the cross. It's how he died not just for us today, but for those in the past and those in the future. And all of that was on Christ's shoulders. And that is the message we need to be sharing in our day-to-day lives. Because verse 3 of the hymn goes on to say, "Go forth and tell where still the darkness lies. In wealth or want the sinner surely dies. Give us, O Lord, concern of heart and mind, a love like yours, compassionate and kind." Oh, do we have that compassionate and caring heart for people? We often talk about we live in a world and a society which is in a dark place and where Christ's light needs to shine through. We talk about the need to be Jesus' hands and feet, and when we're in here, we are on board with that, and then we get outside or we turn the live stream off and we go back to our existing worlds and our existing lives because they're full and consuming and somehow we don't have space for God. We've become selfish, inward looking, apathetic. And somehow these verses that we've heard this morning don't seem to touch us anymore. We have that sense almost of compassion fatigue, where we just think, well, someone else will do it. It's not down to us anymore. It's hard, isn't it? When life feels so full, when the needs for the world feel so big, and who am I? Who are you? Who are just each one of us on our own able to make a difference? And the answer is, we can only make a difference a bit at a time. But if we're not making a difference at all, then we are making no difference. But together we can make a bigger difference. If you are able to financially give week by week, month by month, then you are indirectly helping make a difference in lives. Because through the ministries of this place and of our missionaries that we support, through the giving that you give, we are making a difference. But you may not think that when you put your money in the offering bag or through the bank or through the cash payment card. But you are making a difference. And we need to somehow change our perception to realise that actually, yes, we are indirectly perhaps making a difference. Or we're directly making a difference because we're volunteering in the many ways and the many needs that we have. And we've already heard this morning about the needs that there are this week, this month, here in church. We've had a time where Esther prayed for our world and for one another. And yes, sometimes the needs feel big and sometimes we feel powerless. But if we weren't praying, then imagine what our world would be like. For any one of us who've been at the receiving end of knowing that people are praying for us in our situations, you will know what difference that makes to know that people are standing alongside us. They can't necessarily do anything more than extend a hand of love and of care and of prayer support. But their very act, our very act of doing that, means that we're not on our own. And that God and us alongside are making a difference. And when we think about things feeling too big, we have to sometimes stop and think about, but the difference I'm making is this. Now how can I build on that? I'm making a difference because I'm praying about this. And if I wasn't praying, then I don't know what the consequences are. So I need to keep on praying. I need to keep on caring. I need to keep on keeping on. We need to keep on rather than giving up. Because all of us have been told, and we will be singing about, a world that is in darkness, a world that doesn't know Jesus. If you've been in a situation where things feel bleak, imagine how much more bleak they'd feel if we didn't have Christ with us, if we didn't know God for ourselves. And then remember that so many in our world don't have that because we've never told them. We've never shared our experiences with them. Surely that gives us a motivation to do so. Surely that picks up on that sense of being witnesses of these things, as it says in verse 48. I have a picture on one of my walls that's got this quote on by Mother Teresa. "We know only too well that what we are doing is nothing more than a drop in the ocean. But if the drop was not there, the ocean would be missing something." Look at what we do. Look how we can build on it. And look how we can respond. Because that message that Jesus gave in those final words of his weren't just to his disciples, but they were to us too. In our workplaces, our social events, our families, our neighborhoods, whatever it is that happens here in the church, all of it together means that we can share that love that God has for his world. And we need to follow the example that Jesus had. When he was saying that to his disciples, he was saying at the end of a 3-year period with them. He first of all sent them out as a 12 in twos to go and share that news. Then he sent them out in a group of 72. And he was also giving them the experience of healing the sick and preaching the word and spreading all that God had been doing through miracles and healings. And they themselves had witnessed them. And we need to get a sense of that. What little we may feel that we're doing, we can build on. If we're doing something bigger, then what else is God calling us to? If God has called us in this direction, let's be open to see where he may be taking us to next. Because as he did with the disciples, having sent them out in twos and then giving them more experience and then sending them out again, here he is saying, now go and share that message. What is he saying to us this morning? Where is he saying we need to go? Because in verse 4 of the hymn it says, go forth and tell, the doors are open wide. Share God's good gifts, let no one be denied. Live out your life as Christ your Lord shall choose, your ransom powers for his soul glory use. In these final words of Jesus, after his resurrection, we know that he saw Mary Magdalene. We know that he met with the two on the Emmaus Road. We know that he met with the disciples and he had a party on the beach and he restored Peter. And this is his last moment where he's wanting to make sure he tells them everything. I love the fact that in the end verse in John's chapter, in John's 21, it says, Jesus did many other things as well. And if every one of them were written down, I suppose that even the whole world would not have room for the books that would be written. I love that sense. Even the whole world wouldn't be able to contain all that Jesus had done. But what we have got is our Bible. How well do we know his word? In those final words of Jesus to his disciples in the passage today, he's trying to say to them, look at everything. Look at this word and see what you know about the law and the prophets. Look at what you've done. Look at what you've witnessed. Look at what you've seen. And then take notice and tell others about it. And perhaps they had got some final questions, because in verse 45 of our passage it says, then he opened their minds so that they could understand the scriptures. And my question this morning, one of many, how open are we to hearing what God is saying to us, not just from the scriptures, but in his day-to-day life? It isn't easy sometimes when we're seeking God to find the way forward. Sometimes we have to push a door and see if it shuts or if it opens. Sometimes we have to offer and try something and then think, no, that's not where God wants me. We have to do something different. Sometimes we just have to be willing to put one foot in front of another. But if we're doing nothing, we're making no difference. And that is not what we're being called to do. The book of Revelation in chapter 21 tells us there will be a time when God himself will be with his people. He will dwell with us. And I don't know how comfortable you are about that right now. How comfortable are you if God suddenly, in the form of his presence, comes and sits next to us and says to us right now, how are you doing? What have you done? How are you living? Because that is what our scriptures tell us, that he will come and dwell with us and we with him, and we will be answerable for our lives and the choices that we've made. Which bits of our lives do we want him to see, and which bits of him of our lives do we not want him to know about? Because we have a call on our life, as those disciples did all those years ago, to live as faithful Christians and not just people who consume what they can when we come to church and go off on our own way and just live our lives as we choose. The final verse of the hymn says, go forth and tell, O church of God, arise. Go in the strength which Christ your Lord supplies. Go till all nations his great name adore and serve him, Lord and King, forevermore. Our passage today. In the Acts of the Apostles at the beginning, we are reminded that the disciples were told to stay in Jerusalem until the power of the Holy Spirit came upon them. It's what it's saying here. I'm going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay until you're clothed with power from on high. And we have been clothed with power from on high. And when we feel weak, we need to allow God to work within us through the power of his Holy Spirit. And he will do immeasurably more than we can ever begin to imagine. And that should feel familiar, because it's our text for the year. In this board that's in front of us, the children decorated it last week at the Vision Day. And we were being reminded last week of what God has done in our lives as a church from right back before this land was even built or bought until the church was built and into the last 90 years, and asking that question, and what is next? And we need to allow God to envision us and to take us into places that we've never expected to be because of God leading upon us. As Hayley said earlier, we need to be willing to trust him when he's asking us to do something that is outside our comfort zone, when we feel weak, because the Spirit will empower us to do something mighty. It won't be like the New Year's resolution where we make them in January the 1st and by the 5th we've given up. Or like the Couch to 5K, when we give up on that, when we realise we actually have to go and do some running. When we allow God to be at work within our lives, he will give us all the strength and gifts that we need for that which he is calling us to do. And we sang earlier, it's an adventure following Jesus. Do you feel that you're on an adventure this morning? Is it an adventure learning of him, or do we just listen and not allow it to touch our hearts? Are we up to following him wherever it may take us today, this week, this month, this year, in the years to come? Are we willing, in the words of the previous song, are we willing to go where he leads us? Are we willing to turn away from wrong? Do we really believe and know that we can trust him to help us as we go along? Only you can answer that. Only I can answer that for myself. Only each one of us can answer it for where we are and in what we are facing. But I know that for me, I'd rather step up and step out than I would sit back and not allow the word and the challenges that we find within this scripture make us and allow us to be the people God wants us to be. The people that God challenges us to be. The people who can opt in to what God is asking for us rather than opting out. What is God saying to you this morning? I know what he'll be saying to me. What is he saying to you? As we just pause for a moment before we sing that final song, let's just be open. Let's maybe just open our hands and maybe just say afresh, Father, forgive us when we've become complacent. Forgive us when we don't want to get involved. Forgive us when we rely on others. Help us to step up. Help us to trust you. Help us to follow your leading. Help us to realize that we could be on an amazing adventure with you, and to give us the courage and the confidence to do that, because we have been blessed by you, and others too need to know your blessing. So help us to do that too, Lord. Help us to share that message in our day-to-day lives, through our words, through our witness, even just through our actions, through our love that you have for us that we can share with others. Lord, help us to go forth and tell of all that you have done. For we ask this in your name. Amen. Amen. And so I invite you, if you're able, to stand as we sing that last hymn that we've just looked at this morning, as we do indeed go forth and tell.